Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker, doing big things in the Canadian Football League, Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, chilling, liking how UCLA football is doing. Mm-hmm. BC Lions clinched the playoffs.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of good things happening, you know. But again, a big test this week, finally. But I mean, we don't got to get to there already. We can, you know, recap first.
We could do a little bit of recap. We could do a little bit of a recap, go over that, and we'll talk about the big test. Congratulations on clinching the playoffs there. I'm excited to learn more about that as it develops. But yeah, let's recap. What did Josh Woods take away from the season opener or the conference opener, excuse me, against Colorado?
Our offense can do what it wants to do. Mm-hmm. Zach Charbonnet is one of the best running backs in the country when healthy and when playing.
Yep.
I mean, I think we know that.
Yep.
But our defense has to do better.
Yeah, they got to do better pretty quickly here. But there were some good things to take away on the defensive side, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that is
it was Colorado
playing defense. But... yeah, but when you are playing defense for a Chip Kelly team, your expectation is that the offense is going to outscore the opponent. You just need to get some stops.
Right.
And almost, I would have said a bend not break defense, but you're just because the speed at which Chip Kelly's offenses can score, you're expected to have more plays out there on defense, be out there a lot more. Mm-hmm. So when you're in situations like that, where you're on the field more, it's pretty difficult. And with the injuries to the defense, like there's some,
yes,
some, you know,
some things they need to address. Question mark.
Yeah, certain things they need to figure out as we continue to Pac-12 play. And going against, like we alluded to, Washington this Friday against one of the best offenses in the Pac-12 and the country.
And in the country, one of the best quarterbacks, too, in Michael Penix Jr., as they like to reference, Big Penix Energy. Have you heard that one before?
No, and I hope that there's none of that on Friday. Yeah. I don't like that.
RG3 put that one out there. I guess it was a thing from even like Nevada, but RG3 put it out there on, I guess I was watching a Washington game. I forgot who they're playing. And he just says Big Penix Energy. And I was like, whoa. I was like, that's crazy. But I guess it's been a thing for a while. And I think it's great. But if you're a UCLA fan, you do not want any of that Big Penix Energy this week. That's for sure. Okay, so real quick. So just to go back a little bit, UCLA beat Colorado 45-17. on the road, good road test, not good road test, but good to see. I mean, say what you will, but a good win on the road for UCLA. First win on the, or just first game on the road. So good for them to get that first win out of the way, especially for a team like Colorado, considering where they're at or where they're going to be probably by the end of the season in terms of conference play. But so 45-17, is it that it's 17 points and that's still not enough? Like for the deep, like what you're talking about in terms of defense, or like what still was it that didn't sit well with you with the defense?
I mean, you're going against one of the worst offenses they had in the country.
They had a freshman or a true freshman at quarterback, their third quarterback this season play, his first real start, first real minutes. I think, yeah, go ahead real quick before I tell you what I think. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Colorado is now, you know, at this point in the program, they don't have the talent or depth that they used to have. And I mean, they're going through their woes and their struggles. Mm-hmm. So playing against a freshman quarterback in an opening Pac-12 game, I just, I wanted them to be more, UCLA's defense to be more dominant and not give anything. Like I didn't want any crumbs left, you know, on the table as far as, this is a Pac-12 game. You're going against a bottom tier Pac-12 opponent, potentially. Yep. Going
more likely than not. Quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, was it a good, great win? Yes. But could it have been a little more dominant?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. So I think, they left a little bit out there and made Colorado have hope at times. Not the whole, you know what I'm saying, but just have like, oh, maybe we have some potential here.
Yes. You know? Yes. That's what I was going to say is that if I was a UCLA fan, I would have been a little triggered about them saying on the broadcast, this freshman might be someone like this might be their guy going forward. Like UCLA should not have even allowed it to where it's like for Colorado to be, yeah, we lost, but we're a little bit comfortable more about where we're at with our quarterback situation. I think we figured it out. Like if you're UCLA, you don't want your defense to be the one where you figured out your quarterback situation, right? Yeah,
exactly. So I feel that. I think we can, you know, improve in that aspect. But other than that, a win's a win. And yeah. UCLA is 4-0, two games away from being bowl eligible.
Mm-hmm.
A big game this Friday where they can, again, prove us wrong. And if they can shut down one of the number one offenses in the country, then I think, you know, no more questions need to be asked about that.
I think that's the thing. So just again, like listening to Sirius XM radio, listening to some different just national shows and television and stuff like that. It's like, because, you know, I'm throughout the week, I'm listening to see what others are thinking or saying about UCLA as a program. And a lot of it's going on like, well, you know, they're ranking their six teams. Who are the best six teams in the Pac-12? And obviously four of them are ranked in the AP top 25. Is it four? Yeah, four. And then they're still talking about Oregon State, Washington State. And there's real no, they kind of mentioned UCLA only to say, we're still not sure yet because of the three teams that they played and then who they opened the season with or who they opened conference play with. So it's still kind of a wait and see thing. We'll see. And so it's like, even though we're a third of the way done with the season, four games, like, you're in the start of this second chunk here. And this is, it's almost kind of where the season really is going to start for UCLA in terms of being tested. One storyline. And I think that I found interesting, especially because it was kind of on display here in this Colorado game that they're coming off of, was there's three Washington transfers on the UCLA roster, at least three significant ones. I think it is three, but I don't want to miss anybody. But three significant ones or notable ones in terms of what they were able to do against Colorado. You had Latu, who had three sacks. I think he had 3.5 tackles for a loss, including the three sacks. I think he only had four total tackles. He did force a fumble, I believe. He's a Washington transfer, medically retired. I think, as I mentioned in one of the last couple episodes here, for the podcast, but So he was medically retired, spent some years in Washington, comes to UCLA and is now doing his thing. You have Ethan Garber's backup quarterback, gets back into the game, gets in the game, continues to get some time in that backup role, a Washington transfer as well. He throws a touchdown to Colson Yankoff, who we've talked about on this show, who's also a Washington transfer, had a touchdown from Garber's, a touchdown from DTR. He had two touchdowns in the game against Colorado. So it's just kind of interesting to see the impact that these Washington transfer guys are having, but also just to see a guy like Colson Yankoff, of course, who's been with the team for a while, and kind of come in and make some, you know, make some catches, make some plays. So one question I have for you, and there's some other stuff that we can talk about based on just some of those guys there, especially Latu, but what is it like, if at all, maybe it's not a thing. Obviously you never really transferred from any other college. You were UCLA through and through, but you've probably had some teammates throughout your time where maybe they're going up against their former school, or maybe not. I don't know. You could tell me, but what is that situation like? Have you had any experiences where teammates were going up against their former school? Does it mean anything to those guys? Anything along those lines?
I feel like it always meant something. Like I've played against former teammates.
Okay.
You know, and I think whenever a guy leaves a program for whatever reasons, it's kind of like when you play your former team, it's kind of like majority of the time it's like, oh, this is what y'all are missing out on. Or, you know, this could have been on your still been over there right. If it wasn't for so-and-so reason. So a lot of times it's kind of like a revenge game, I feel like, for most guys that are playing their former school, because majority of the time, the reason leaving is, you know, a play time or a play style reason. So I feel like a lot of guys want vengeance. So
yeah,
I think we're going to see, with the quarterbacks or like with Garbers and with Yankoff.
Yep.
I don't know how much they see it as that, but
right.
And even,
for Latu,
because I think the deal is when you medically retire from a school, you can't play again at that school.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, that was a thing with, I think,
with Jalen Phillips.
Yeah.
He probably
had to leave. Yeah. He had to go to another school because doctors can't clear you.
They can't, or it's either they can't, or it's hard for them to, a lot of it's just you know, we kind of said you can't play or you're done. So it's kind of like they can't really ever reverse course. I think it's kind of what it is.
You have to be, you have to be medically cleared by the next place you go. So for him, I don't know, but at the same time, you definitely want to be your old team, you know, want to win every game, but
right. It just means more because you're familiar with it. You know, you might still know some of those guys, whatever. Even if it's just friendly, competitive, you've been talking to the guys, you know, on that site all week. Right. And now it's you know, I got to show them up or I got to do my thing. Right.
You don't want them to be able to hold that against you. You know,
that was I'm going to try and read his name. Alex King Abulu. Or do you know?
See, Alex King Abulu, it was personal.
Okay. So maybe there's more to that. But he was at Fresno State. Fresno State beat UCLA. Kalen DeBoer was the head coach. Now he's the head coach at Washington now. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I remember kind of knowing about Alex transferring and being a guy that was on the Fresno State side. And when they won, he was literally skipping, marching up and down the Rose Bowl field. Like it was personal.
He has a picture where he's flexing on the logo. He's going to post that every single year because that was a personal one for him. And I mean, even I was rooting for him. I wanted him to, you know, and I still want him to succeed as now he's on the practice squad for the Washington Commanders. Shout out to him.
Okay. I didn't know
that. Yeah, it's just, I know how much that game meant to him.
Gotcha.
And like I said, majority of former players want vengeance.
Yeah, definitely. It always depends on the situation. And again, just on the UCLA side, I think you talk about kind of avenging a loss in the situation of UCLA with that Fresno State game. That Fresno State game last year was kind of a heartbreaker. Just because they were coming off that LSU win and things, they were ranked, things were going their way. But then you have Kalen DeBoer coaching that Fresno State team, coming into the Rose Bowl and getting the job done against UCLA. You get Kalen DeBoer coming back in, different colors, different guys, but a quarterback he's familiar with Michael Penix Jr., who's a transfer from Indiana. The fun stat going around right now is like 10 of the 12 teams in the Pac-12 conference have a transfer quarterback starting at quarterback. The only two that don't are Stanford's Tanner McKee, who's from Corona Centennial, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Those are the only two quarterbacks that were recruited out of high school and are playing with their team. All other 10 teams have some sort of transfer guy. Jaden DeLora went from Washington State to Arizona. You have the guy that went to Arizona State, the Caleb Williams with USC, all these guys. So Michael Penix Jr. is another one of those guys, a guy who was a quarterback.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But it might also speak to just how competitive, not exactly just because of that, but it probably factors into why the Pac-12 isn't just like this one or two team conference at the top. Like you have so many, like you have four teams in the top 25 in the conference, right? When's the last time you can really say that and be confident about, any one of these teams can beat the other team on any given day kind of deal. And again, the fact that you're talking about six teams before you even get to UCLA, when you talk about conference play, or where, you know, just where people stand in or with the conference and those teams. But Michael Penix Jr. is currently leading the nation in passing yards, and also as an offense, they're leading passing yards. But Michael Penix Jr. is a big part of that. So I'll read off some of what I have here. And again, so just real quick, the thing with Kalen DeBoer is like, you know, you get settled in with a new job. You find you're trying to find some of your own guys, right? You're trying to get guys that fit your system. You explore the transfer portal to help fill some holes immediately. And Kalen DeBoer finds a guy that he's familiar with in the transfer portal because both of them were at Indiana for some point in time together. In Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. transfers in and is an easy plug and play guy, fits right into that system, already familiar with Kalen DeBoer. And that's why they're kind of moving the way that they're moving right now. So let me call up the stats here for. Yeah. So
I just want to point out like one thing, though. That's like, I think is like important for like recruits and even like kids in college now. Like you just never want to burn a bridge with a coach or somebody recruiting you, whether you're getting recruited and you chose another school. And you know, you don't want to just, you know, blow off those coaches that have been putting in hours and hours into recruiting you. You know, you want to, you know, let them know you've made your decision, but there's always mutual respect.
No doubt.
For them and the opportunities. And then at the same time, when you're at a school, even if a situation is not the best, like you still want to have that relationship with that coach. So whether that coach goes on to go to another school or even to the NFL, and you want to have that, you know, it's a good reference or connection. Cause I mean, we see it sometimes. Yeah. Where guys, a coach goes somewhere and a player is able to either, you know, go there or from another school because that same coach recruited him to one school to another school. So I think it's always important, just your connections, like just maintain them and keep them.
There's good examples of that. Just like with Titus, the receiver that came in from UCF mentioned, like Chip Kelly called me again. Chip Kelly had his number from the first time he tried to recruit him out of high school, like a year or two ago. And he says, hey, like, you know, this is my second attempt at trying to get you. I'm not going to let you get away this time. Like there's those kind of connections. You look at a Darren Chevrini, who was the offensive coordinator just this last year at Colorado, was a guy who is known for his recruiting. I used to hear about him as a guy who was involved in recruiting back when he was at Riverside City College, right? Because he was there when I was a student. And so you hear about guys like that. So he's recruiting and going through the paces for trying to recruit guys for Colorado. You know, you get a guy coming back to the Pac-12 or something like that, and you run into him at UCLA. You know what I mean? So it could be something like that. So you never know where your direction, where your career is going to go, and who you may have crossroads with again. So that's a very good point. And again, I don't think Kalen DeBoer was the head coach. I don't know. I haven't looked that far back. He might have just been the offensive coordinator. He might have just been his quarterback coach for all I know, but. They crossed paths before and it worked out for them to work together again. So a very good point by you, Josh. So quarterback Michael Penix Jr. currently leads the country with 1,388 passing yards, and the Washington offense currently ranks fifth in the nation in total offense with 530.8 yards per game. So that's what UCLA is up against this week. Again, as I think I mentioned to you, I mentioned this to you off air, if I'm not mistaken, but did we mention it? I don't know if we mentioned it on the show, but big Penix energy is what's going on when it comes to Michael Penix Jr. That's what's being thrown out there. And Josh doesn't like that nickname, or at least he doesn't want to hear about it.
I hope it's little Penix energy on Friday.
Little Penix energy for sure, if you're a UCLA fan. But here's what Chip Kelly had to say about the relationship with Kellen DeBoer and Michael Penix Jr. in terms of just understanding their relationship and knowing kind of what goes into that. He said earlier this week out at practice when talking to the media, he says, they've played in that system before. I think it's a little bit different. And that's when Chip Kelly was asked about Kellen DeBoer and what maybe some of the different, if there's any difference between Kellen at Fresno State and now Washington, just based on what he's seen it on tape. He says, Kellen and Penix have a history together. They were at Indiana together before. So I think it's a little bit different than taking a kid out of the portal, you know, someone that you're probably just not like just a random kid and hoping it works out compared to these two. And I think they have a pretty good grasp of the system because he played in it before. So I think for me, Josh, one thing that has my attention is UCLA had a new starting cornerback this past week, and it wasn't reflected on the depth chart until I saw it and noticed it this Monday. John Humphrey is now your starting cornerback in place of Azeezy Hearn, it appears. Azeezy, as far as I know, is not hurt. There was no indication of that. But he started the first three games, something along the line there, where now John Humphrey is starting. He's the guy who went to Muir High School in Pasadena. So, you know, the Pasadena locals playing in front of the home crowd here in a sense. And John Humphreys is going to be getting his second collegiate start. He's a junior. I think you would have just missed him unless you're familiar with him from any sort of recruiting trips he may have had. But he came in 2020 as a true freshman. So I think you just missed him. So he's going to be getting a start there. He's listed at like 6'2", 185 or something like that. But Azeezy Hearn is listed at like 6'2", 205. So it's not like it's necessarily a height and weight difference. Maybe I think when I talked to Chip, he referred to John Humphrey as a guy who's like tall and longer. And maybe that maybe will help or has helped with the secondary and just what. I think that will matter too, because you're looking at three receivers for Washington that are over like 6'2", one of them 6'1", one of them 6'2", and the other one is 6'3". So they got tall guys. Chip said like any one of those guys could be a deep threat. And that's something that plagued UCLA last year in that secondary. They were giving up those explosive plays. You saw it against LSU. They were getting up like one or two explosive plays for touchdown, like every game, especially early on last season. And Fresno State was part of that. They were getting to the ball, and that's how they kept that game close and eventually pulled away with it. So Kellen DeBoer knows that, and he's going to try it. I would only imagine he's going to try and emphasize that because he's going to remember that having played UCLA recently. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on. I think, again, having a motivated Latu, who's already had three sacks and is going to be hungry to play against Washington, could be a benefit for UCLA as well, especially because now that they're thin at defensive line and just trying to get a pass rush there. But also, I didn't mention this to you before, Josh, Michael Penix Jr. has not been sacked. The backups have been sacked like once or twice, and that's with the backup offensive line in, but they have not given up a sack. And I think what I've heard too was Michael Penix Jr. has not had a scramble. I think he's only had a scramble once on a play that wasn't designed, if that makes any sense. Sounds like it that
he's getting protection.
He's getting protection. So I'm telling you, that's big Penix energy. He's getting protected.
Big Penix energy getting protection.
He's getting protection. Crazy. That's what I'm saying. And I'm hearing all these stats. Like, I'm like, uh-oh. But so,
I mean, UW has been known.
Yeah.
I mean, typically for having a pretty decent O-line.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I was saying, those question marks, it's over. I think that, you know, with the defenses, the D line and the secondary, two things that are getting addressed. And I believe one of the Murphy twins for targeting is he it happened in the first half though, right?
It happened in the first half. I asked Chip about it and we're all good there. It did happen in the first quarter. So he did sit out the second quarter just because you're disqualified from the game. And he did miss the second half. So he's all clear and will be good to go to start this game against Washington, which will definitely benefit them as far as just depth that they need, because Gary Smith Jr. was out against Colorado, didn't even make the trip, but they're kind of just monitoring him, see how it goes. Same with Jay Toya. Jay Toya gets hurt early in that Colorado game on that defensive line for UCLA. They were kind of monitoring him, but I don't know if we saw him out at practice much. He could be a game time decision. Maybe they test and see how it goes. Obviously, you have Martin Andrus, who we talked about plenty of times on this show, who is out for the season, unfortunately. I think they had is DeVoit Manga. David, who's had to kind of step in and Chip had some good things to say about him earlier, kind of stepping in and filling in that role. And then I think you have a Kafusi in there as well, helping out.
Vaney.
Yeah. Is that a guy you're familiar with? Was he there when you were there? I know that Kafusi is like a
both
name.
Both David and.
Oh, was he?
And it's okay. Crazy. They are related. Did not know each other prior to him being on campus, but
who
in the long line of Kafusi and Coach Kafusi?
Okay,
Coach Jason Kafusi, who's not Arizona,
who just that? Okay,
They are. He's his.
It's like a big family tree thing. Like they didn't know
nephew. Yeah, because the Kafusi lineage is big.
Yeah,
in the name's familiar. Yeah, football. Yeah. They're everywhere, but like they are related and didn't know each other until
really
they're both on campus.
College football, yes. Small world, as we just talked about.
Exactly.
You could even meet someone in your own family you didn't even know.
Crazy. But it's awesome to see guys that I've seen, like David, who was, you know, walk on that, you know, kept like ever since he showed up, always like we always say, like there's those guys that are just like showing up, doing all the extra things and like finally getting their shot. And then Kafusi as well, like seeing him.
He's been hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt when my last year he was hurt. He's trying to play fullback and running back. He gets hurt last year, but you know, makes this move to we always made a joke like, yeah, like with Big Kafusi here, you could come to our outside linebacker room.
Right.
He always be like, yeah, I want to come. And then when I left, he made the move, and then now he's worked his way down because now he's with D-line. But it's awesome to see him finally get in a play as a Bruin.
Yep, definitely getting to play. Trying to think what else, just a few other things. So just going back to Lachi real quick, just his performance with the 3 sacks and the forced fumble against Colorado landed him defensive player of the week honors. He did get the nod there, which was pretty good. Running back Zach Charbonnet, someone I didn't see practice very much last Tuesday, write a whole story about him saying limited participant in practice, may not, you know, I didn't say didn't, may not play, but it was just kind of like, keep an eye on this. Goes out, runs for like 3 touchdowns, has his 900-yard game, is tied now for 11th all time on UCLA's all-time list of guys with 100 career rushing games, with Maurice Jones-Drew, Kevin Nelson, Kermit Johnson. Charbonnet's on that list of guys, and Charbonnet goes off for 3 touchdowns, and I think it was like 104 or 109 yards. And the guy was limited
only
in practice.
On 9 carries.
Oh, 9 carries, yeah. A only grown man, carries. Josh. He's a grown man. He is a grown man. So Charbonnet was nominated for Offensive Player of the Week, and so was like Michael Penix Jr. and a couple other guys. I forgot who ended up even winning it, but Charbonnet had 3 touchdowns and wasn't even the Conference Player of the Week. And then trying to think what else. We talked about the Murphy twin being eligible. I think we talked about last week, UCLA didn't get a vote in the AP top 25. UCLA did get a vote this week in the AP top 25, still unranked, only 1 vote from what I was able to see. But there's another, there is now a believer there for UCLA. And as I wrote earlier this week on dailynews.com, if UCLA can beat a team like Washington, whether they get maybe not, because Oregon State and Washington State didn't necessarily get ranked and people were kind of knocking on the door like these guys need to be ranked.
My thing is though, 5-0. Mm-hmm. Come on now. 5-0 undefeated. 5-0 regardless of and yeah, beating a number 15. Like at that point, if UCLA is not ranked, people just hating on Chip Kelly.
So here's what I they'll either be like number 26, 27, or they will be ranked. I think there's a chance they could be ranked. Maybe a lot of it will depend on how the win comes about. If it's a dominant win, or if it's just like, because the thing is like Washington got ranked for their win over Michigan State, who was number 11 when they played them. And then I think Michigan lost to Minnesota, who I think might've been unranked because they played Colorado that same week. Now, Minnesota beat Michigan State, if I'm not mistaken. So that kind of devalued people's thoughts on Michigan State and what that win might actually mean. So some people are making the case like, we still don't know what Washington is because maybe the Michigan State win doesn't mean as much. So
I mean, but Minnesota is ranked and they are 3-0.
I think they just got ranked.
But I'm saying word on the street, like they are a pretty good team.
Oh yeah, they got a running back. That running back's a stud. Minnesota's the team. Yeah, yeah.
We put all those the equation together. UCLA should, if they win this game, they should be ranked.
They and should
if not. Like looking ahead, like our next three opponents are ranked.
That's what I'm saying. If you win two of those games, especially at home, you beat them and you beat Washington, who lost Brent Keithy, I think they're tight end for Washington, or not for Washington, for Utah. So maybe that works in UCLA's favor, even though I hate saying it that way because the guy got injured. But, you know, maybe they get an upset over Utah as well. Then you're looking at UCLA as like a top 15 team. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But it's exciting stuff. I think that's what you need. You need to start building the hype train. Like this is the start of the season for UCLA.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like we had some layups going into this stretch, you know. So when you have layups, you typically and you should be healthier. Unfortunately, we have had some, you know, some losses up front. Yeah. But that offense should be fully functional.
So I have a question for you. And maybe this plays into the injuries and stuff like that. They just had school start last week. What is it? Did you ever have to play a game on a short week while you're at UCLA? And how does that play out? Because they come home from Colorado. They played early enough on Saturday, had the Colorado game, come back home. I think they still got home at 8. And then you have a rare evening practice with Chip Kelly and UCLA on Sunday. They practice on Sunday, the very next day, and pushed everything up a day so they can play on Friday.
They had
Friday.
An actual practice on Sunday?
They practice on Sunday. It might have just kind of been like a walkthrough, maybe, but they practice. No,
I was like, because you're obligated to have an off day, right?
Maybe not if you have a short week, but no, NCAA. I mean, because Chip Kelly goes by all the rules and everything, but just him being a body, like no one had a problem with it. But Chip Kelly being a body, like a body clock guy, like, you know, if it was up to him, he would have to practice the next morning. But I think just out of respect for the guys coming home at 8 that night, gave them, I don't know if I was kind of thinking that too. I'm like, cause I wasn't going to go to practice on a Sunday. Like not if I didn't have to, but, it was a rare Sunday practice. You know, I'm sure that's just how it goes. It's a short week, but I think UCLA should take advantage of the short week because now you're on a nationally televised game against Washington. But did you ever have a short week or have a game on a Friday?
I think I had a few, but I feel like maybe we had a game on a Thursday. Oof. I think I've played on a Thursday and I played on a Friday, but I think the Thursday game came off of a bye week.
Off of a bye, yeah. And which I makes a little more sense.
We followed up the Thursday game with a Friday game, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't think we ever really had a real, literally like a short week. So
maybe, maybe
I've had them now.
Right, right.
In this league, like I'm short week this week, where literally I play Saturday too, and mm-hmm. we play Friday night as well.
Gotcha. But you were in starting school and everything else, right? So
yeah, not really. Okay. Well.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but maybe they just saw UCLA's playing Colorado. Washington just beat up on Stanford. Practically a bye week. No. No.
Give them a Friday game.
Let's just give them a Friday game.
We talked about it before, uh-huh. but like it's gonna be interesting to see is the attendance. It being a Friday game. Yeah, I don't know how the Rose was gonna look. I mean, UW should travel.
They should travel well.
Maybe okay, but again, it's a Friday. I feel like, you know, like
is there's traffic, high school games, you know, exactly. You're going out, hitting the town. Let me read off real quick. We have a couple minutes before we wrap up, but I want to read some of what they're doing to address this. So UCLA is doing its part to spread awareness and hopefully draw a crowd for the conference game against Washington. UCLA has put up 10 digital billboards promoting Friday's game in cities like Carson, Urbandale, Inglewood, and Hawthorne. They also have six Costco locations in the local area, offering a pair of tickets for UCLA sideline seats for $99. So two tickets for $99. The Bruins also reached out to former season ticket holders and are offering $55 tickets for $20, $119 tickets for $40. They've also given out complimentary tickets to youth sports organizations and K-12 classrooms. And they're also going to have a fireworks show at halftime. Your thoughts? Good old Costco.
My thing is all these deals. I feel like we're missing out a lot of money still.
I mean, you got to get them in this. I think it's a great thing. And I've seen someone on Twitter like say, hey, they were a former season ticket holder. They like posted it. I think they bought like four tickets for like less than $200 or something like that. And these are former season ticket holders. You get them to go, you get former season ticket holders to go to this game, right? UCLA wins a big game. Maybe you want to sign up and be a season ticket holder again. I think it's a good move. And he said it was a good deal. Whoever it was, he didn't have a picture on it, but he had a screenshot of his receipt with the deal as a former season ticket holder. I think that's a good thing. It's a Friday. I mean, but if this is the case, if it works out, maybe you do this all the time. At least for now.
I think the experience just needs to be so good that it keeps people coming. But at the same time, like I said, with these discounts and stuff, the program is losing out on money.
Yeah,
some, you know what I'm saying, and that's all these true promotions, like it has to pay off. But my thing is, I hope that it's the opponents and like the bigger games, then people show up again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
No doubt about it. We'll see how it pays off. All we can do is sit back and watch and see how things develop. Josh, this has been fun as it always is, and thank you guys again for watching. And we'll catch you guys, or thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next one. Thank you so much.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.